Well, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, how thankful we are, and Lord, help us not to be murmurers and complainers, but help us to walk in victory and to be so grateful for the fact that our names are written in the book of life and that we are not just children of the world. We're purchased by your blood and we're your children, Lord. So help us to be your children, Lord. Enable us to properly be your child and to represent you to that dark and dying world, Lord. So as we look again at your word today, open our eyes to it. May we be reminded of the importance of prayer, the importance of intercessory prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, as you probably remember and know. And one of the great things about Deuteronomy is that it's a little bit like the Gospels, in that the Gospels tell the same story, but they tell it from slightly different perspectives. And Deuteronomy is kind of a review, as you know, where Moses is giving a final review to the new generation. All the old generation has died off now, or almost all of it has died off. And they're going to go into the land. So he's giving them an update. And we have a beautiful, beautiful example of intercessory prayer today. And in chapter 9 is where we find it. And Moses has told the children of Israel, you're going to go into the land, and God is going to go before you, and he's going to drive out the enemies. He's going to destroy the enemies. And he goes further to tell them, it's not because of you, it's because of their wickedness. And I'm not choosing you to go in because of your greatness and because of your awesomeness. I'm choosing you because I love you and I promised it to your fathers. And every promise we have in the study, and of course today's study for sure, applies to us. Not that we are direct descendants of the patriarchs, but we are his children, aren't we? That he's chosen because he loves us, not of anything we've done or of any good in us, right? So these promises are all for us as well. So Moses reminds them now of their rebellion. And he emphasizes the incident at Horeb with the golden calf. And in chapter 9, verse 20, we read, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron at that time. He prayed for the nation and he prayed for Aaron at that time. And we have the incidences of the 40-day fasting and so forth with Moses. Now, this is not just all about the golden calf, because now he's going to bring in Taberah, and he's going to bring in Massa Meribah, he's going to bring in Kibroth HaHatavah, and he's going to bring in Kadesh Barnea. And you remember all of those Taberah is where they were complaining of the larks, the leeks and the garlics, and oh, we have this worthless manna, and they were complaining about that. And then shortly thereafter, they were thirsty, and so Moses struck the rock at Massa Meribah and the miracle of providing water. Then at Kibroth HaTavah, we had that not very long ago in the book of Numbers, where they were complaining about no meat, so the Lord sends them quail, and they ate till it, what, came out of their nostrils, and they begin to die because of their lust of overeating. And then we had Kadesh Barnea very recently, where they sent out the spies. Every single case is rebellion. Every single incident is unbelief. I mean, it's just one after another. And so he says, basically, since you came out of Egypt, you have been rebellious, Israel. And then we read in verse 25, Moses says, thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So this is kind of seems to me a catch-all now after a lot of this review, and it seems like it's another 40-day fast, which would be like the third one mentioned. Some people think it's the second one, and we don't know for sure. But it seems to me like it's the third one at any rate, because the prayer is different this time than it was in the second fast. Now here, verse 26, the important thing is the intercessory prayer of Moses for the nation and how we need to pray as well. Therefore, I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord Yahweh, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance. Now he's going to go ahead and give four reasons to the Lord not to do it. These are just great reasons. It's good to have reasons in prayer. It's good to have your prayers organized in your thoughts a little bit, at least the central things in an intercessory session. I mean, God has got to lay it on your heart, and when he lays it on your heart, then these things become more clear, it would seem, and you can pound away at that with the various things here that Moses is going to mention. He's first going to mention that don't destroy your people and your inheritance. They're yours. You promised them they would be yours. And now if you destroy them, what does that do to your glory, Lord? What does that do to you? Because then the people will say, well, you said you loved them and you were going to deliver them out of Egypt, which you did, but now you couldn't keep them alive. You couldn't get them into the promised land, as you said. So your people, your inheritance, whom what? You have redeemed through your greatness. It's the greatness of God that they were redeemed from slavery in Egypt. And how true that is, it's the greatness of God that he has redeemed us from our sin through his provision, through Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with our greatness, it's all his greatness. Then whom you brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and that fits you and I as well. We've been brought out of the sin of Egypt, which represents sin there, and we've been brought out of that with a mighty hand. Those are a couple of things that he mentions right away, and then he goes on, and remember the promises and how good it is. I know a lot of you pray that you are so thankful we have a covenant-keeping God, but we remember his promises, and in this case, it was to our forefathers. It was to your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is reminding him of the promise that he made to them, and that's a powerful promise because God said he would never leave them nor forsake them. And here they are, rebelling and rebelling and rebelling and rebelling. Moses is crying out to the Lord, don't destroy them. Remember your promise to the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness of their sin. Now, wouldn't that also be absolutely accurate in your case, in my case? It certainly is in my case. Don't look on my stubbornness. Don't look on my wickedness or my sin. But look on the promises that have been made to us through what he has done. And then praying that God's glory not be tarnished, he says, lest the land from which you brought us, Egypt, should say, because the Lord was not able. So one of the hymns I was going to sing this morning, you are able, because he is able, isn't he? But Moses is saying there is, lest they would say, you are not able to bring them to the land which he promised them because he hated them. And that again is not wrong. God did not hate the children of Israel or he would have destroyed them long. He would have never brought them in the first place. But it's because he loved them. Because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. So Moses is saying, God, your glory is going to be ruined. Your glory is going to be tarnished. And that not only are the forefathers yours that you promised, but we are his, or they are his, because in verse 29 it says, yet they are your people and your inheritance. And that certainly fits the bride of Christ, isn't it? Isn't that what the bride of Christ is? It's God's people and his inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. So there is the intercessory prayer of Moses for Israel, and I believe it should be the intercessory prayer for us. And I think this is such an example. We seek the mercy and the power of God by praying the same prayer that he prayed for Israel, right? Because we're the same situation as Israel, taken out of the sin of Egypt and delivered by his mighty hand. So I thought we would just sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because I think it's the faithfulness of God all the way through here and we could sing many different ones, but the words are on page one, so let's just join in singing this one, and then we will get into prayer.
Is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father? There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions forever will be.
Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness unto each one of us, Lord. And Lord, help us to pray. Lead us in prayer this morning that we would redeem this time by praying as you would lead us through your Spirit. And we are a tight-knit little group this morning, all even on one side of the room. And so, Lord, may we pray now as you would have us to pray. And thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name.